This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 42. Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Great. Larry, you?
We got a lot to talk about. I don't know where to start today, except I think we should start with Jimmy's love life. I got an idea for Jimmy. No,
okay, good.
No, we don't.
How much time do we have?
We got hours.
It is unfiltered.
Do hours.
Well, here's what I want to talk about. I got an idea for you
for
a dating app.
Okay. Okay.
We're gonna call it Stumble.
Oh, nice.
That's
right. I think we're on.
Wait.
Okay.
Other dating apps like Bumble, you meet. How does that work? If I was single.
Okay.
And Sheila and I are not, but you are.
Yeah. Bumble was a thing where you put your picture up, bio, quick bio, you know, me, astronaut, hang gliding, rock climbing, free rock climbing,
of course.
You know, played in the NFL for 4 years. Oh, the whole thing, the whole deal, two Super Bowl wins, all that. So you put your little bio, and then you put like four really Photoshopped photos that make you look about, I look like I'm in high school in my photos.
Yes, really Photoshopped.
I got my prom, I look like a prom picture.
And you have to have one of you fishing.
Always fishing,
yes.
Always fishing. You need one action shot. Anyway, you get four or five photos, whatever. Then, that's it. The girls have their photos, and then you swipe, you know, right if you like them, left if you don't want to, and then you can't contact them. The girl you like can't you until she contacts you.
She has to send you a smile.
She has to send you a text of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hi, thanks, how are you? Smile.
That's kind of exciting.
Well, it's kind of cool because the girl picks you and it removes a lot of bull crap. Because, you know, hey, she obviously likes you. She obviously finds you attractive. She's looking at the photos until she sees me in real life.
But if she decides that she's liking you, she's digging your groove.
Yes.
Then how do you begin the actual conversation?
Well, texting first, because it could be an axe murderer, or I could be an axe murderer.
Okay.
So you don't want to date an axe murderer or anything.
Typically.
Well, if the axe murderer is hot enough, I will date the axe murderer.
Just make sure she doesn't bring the axe to bed.
If she looks like a Victoria's Secret model, she could be an axe murderer. I'd be like, everybody has a hobby. So the girl, we talk back and forth, and then we get comfortable, and then at some point, you say, you know, like you, blah, blah, blah. Why don't we get off this app and, you know, be easier to be close friends or become friends quicker. Here's my cell number. Then give me your number or ask for her number. And then that's when you're off the app, then you're off and running. You're dating kind of.
Now,
whatever.
Typically, where would somebody meet somebody for the first time under those circumstances?
I think my personal pick is
a bowling
alley. It's scary for a guy. All right. Guy won't admit it, but it is. But it's scarier for a woman because you think about this, man. This guy could really be a crazy person. And you don't know if that photo is real. You know, all the stuff the girl's going through is a little tougher. So I try to keep it comfortable and just a coffee shop. It's usually, you know, because it's afternoon coffee shop.
Okay. Because
then you got afternoon coffee shop. She sees what I look like really in person, my personality or whatever. And I hang out with her. And if it, you know, if it works, just keep going.
And Sheila,
for me, I met on the side of the road, which most people tell you not to do.
Yeah, is that a new app?
You met somebody.
I met somebody on the side of the road.
I don't know that app.
Would you have a flat tire?
This was Andy.
Okay.
Whom you both know.
Yeah.
We met on Zoosk.
What?
You heard of Zeus?
Zeus.
Yes,
never
Zeus.
Heard of
Zeus. It's a site.
Zeus. Yeah. Are you sure it wasn't FarmersOnly.com?
I think
it might have been Stumble, actually.
Is it called Side of the Road?
So
meet on a side of the road.
But you know,
he's
got this down to a science, though. He doesn't just go and meet the woman. He wants to do a Zoom call first
because
he wants to make sure that she looks just like her pictures look.
Yeah, don't want that
to your point.
Yeah,
you know, and apparently many women did not look in person, or at least online, the way they did in their photos.
You have a disadvantage because so many people would recognize you.
I only posted one picture, and I had these really big sunglasses on, so nobody recognized me.
Nice.
I know. And even when he knew who I was, he still didn't know who I was.
Okay. He's hiding.
He had no recollection of me being on television at all, which was great. So we met on the side of the road. Here's the story behind this. When we were having our Zoom call, I happened to mention that my keyboard mouse wasn't working.
Okay.
And he said he sells a lot of promotional items, and he said, I have a ton of mice, so I could give you one. We could meet on the side of the road.
I'm taking notes here. Buy
meet
extra mice.
So
extra mice.
I happened to be having breakfast the next morning with my girlfriend, and after I left the breakfast, I thought, you know what? I'm going to take him up on his offer. So I texted him. I said, does that offer still stand? He said he never got dressed so fast and came to meet me. So we met over near Station Square.
Okay.
Got out of his truck. I got out of my car. He handed me my mouse and gave me a big hug, kiss.
Are you Andy?
And that's that.
It could have been somebody else.
First mouse, yes. No games, nothing. Boom,
and,
boom. That's it. Good.
And that was
right?
it.
Now,
and
how long ago has that been?
That's been almost a year and a half.
It's been that long already.
Yeah. Can you believe it?
Well, I remember
he seems
when I first met him.
Really good.
He's a great guy.
For, you know, the axe murderer thing. But
I have
sure
not seen an axe on his part yet.
If you did, it would probably have some branding or promotional marking on it.
It probably would. Yeah.
It would just be a rubber axe.
That's funny.
Anyway, I don't know why we went down the rabbit hole of dating, except
it's
for
interesting.
So many people have told me, I have some very close friends mm-hmm. who have told me about recent, you know, experiences in this.
Right, yeah.
Not just you, Jim.
Right,
but
right.
So
other people, yeah.
That's fascinating to me because, you know, that didn't exist when I was dating.
No, it's the new hanging out at a bar or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I still think the best way is kind of randomly meeting somebody. So far, I really haven't, actually online, maybe a couple people know, but the only people I've had any significance with has been, you know, maybe after a show, met somebody and whatever, like that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know why.
Well, yeah, you're still a public
figure. But online. No,
you're still
I used to think that because this was the first time I'd ever done online
true.
Dating. I got to weed through.
True.
All the baddies.
I'm religious. Okay? I just think it's up to God. Let go, let God in a way. Because Andy is the nicest person. One of the nicest people I've met. Up there with you, Lair. But so how do you meet that person unless it's somehow, I don't know, God. Or it was your time to meet that God.
I think it was.
Like it was I don't care if it was on the internet, in other words, or you were at a podcast show or something mm-hmm. or whatever. I believe it's going to happen. Love, God is love, and if it's going to happen, it's just stronger than everything.
Well, they've always said, you know, you'll know when you know.
You know when you know. It's just stronger than everything. So, yeah, I just think it's just,
yeah, right.
No matter how crazy it is, love ends up together somehow.
And you and Cindy, did you know? I mean, just know right away, or did it take time?
I worked at WTAE Radio. She was at the TV side as a production assistant to Ann Devlin.
I remember, yes.
Pittsburgh's Talking, and she came bouncing through the cafeteria. I didn't know her.
Bouncing through.
It's the end of that.
No, because she, you know, I mean, literally.
That's beautiful.
She was
come on.
On the move, bouncing through. I didn't mean that, like, bouncing through.
Hey, whatever.
She's
beautiful.
You know, Cindy,
that.
It would, well, she has these beautiful blue eyes and blonde hair, and I was just like, oh, I wonder who this is. And it took a while till we actually met, and then someone told her, you can't date him. And she said, why? Because he's a Mormon, and you're Catholic, and, you know, he's probably not going to align with you. And she went, oh, well, I still like him. He seems like a nice guy. Of course, this person that worked at the station had confused me with one of the TV sales guys.
Oh, I was going to say, I've known Larry a long time. Like, did you know he's a Mormon?
Yeah. No. And
I had no idea he's a Mormon.
And his name was Steve, and he and his wife were Mormons, but I wasn't.
You're Amish.
I like the fact that even though she thought our religious beliefs might not align exactly, she still was interested. But then when she found out, I'm just this Catholic kid too.
Like, what? You were supposed to be a Mormon.
And then at one point, you know how you say you shouldn't, you know, be with somebody at work, but yeah, you know, she would come
by. Nothing you
could
do.
I said, here's how dumb I am.
That's the it. That's what I'm saying. It's too strong.
We ended up kissing in the hall in the stairwell.
That's exciting. It's pretty damn exciting.
But she came down to the radio booth to see me because I was
weird. I'm excited.
She was looking for music for the show, for the TV show, and I was the production director for the AM at the time, and I was working on promos for Pitt Football. We were the rights holders. And she said, oh, what are you working on? I said, I'm putting the Pitt Football promos together. And she goes, oh, my brother played for Pitt. And I'm like, well, maybe I know the young man. I go, what's his name? Dan. And at that point, I really didn't know her last name.
And wait, you kissed her before you knew her last name?
The kiss
came
after.
Okay. Okay. All right.
And then she goes, Dan Marino.
I'm like,
I gotta marry this girl because I'm gonna get free tickets, free gloves from Isotoner.
You're set.
Now
shoes,
we know the real reason.
Nike shoes.
Absolutely.
I never did get a pair of Isotoners.
Really?
By the way,
aw,
I didn't.
Dan, come on.
In fact, I didn't meet
Dan. Matter of fact, toss a pair for me. I like the Isotoners.
I didn't meet Dan until we were engaged, and he invited us down to Monday Night Football, and we were at the game, and we had seats 8 rows behind a bench, and the first pass he made and completed, my wife jumped up and started screaming, Iceman, and all this. And I'm like, whoa, where is this coming from? And I knew then she was like this rabid fan, but it was only for her brother. I didn't find that till later. She fooled me.
It's all right.
I also
Brother's
tested her by
time.
Taking her to a Penguins game. Oh, I love this. She never went back. I had season tickets then. And so we meet Dan after the game, come from behind, win over Cleveland. They have a crowd waiting to meet the players. And finally, a guy came out and said, Dan Marino has left the stadium. And I'm like, oh, please. That's what I'm thinking. I didn't know what he was going to be like. So he comes out and he's wearing an AC/DC t-shirt. And
Pittsburgh guy.
We walk over to where the car is. So the players had a little tailgate and having some beers. He grabs me by the neck. You know, he's 6'4".
Yeah.
I'm 5'9". And a half on a good day, he grabs me by the neck and he goes, take care of my sister or I'll effing kill you. And he looks at me and he goes, no, I'm just kidding. And he gave me the stare like, no, I'm not. And then he said, do you want a beer?
Really?
Yeah. And that's how you know. That
You're accepted.
I was in.
And here you are as Dan standing there. There's a little Larry going, they're playing with his beer.
I look like Hervé Velichez.
Yeah. And then Dan picked you up like a little baby, put you in the baby born, whatever that's called, and carried you away.
Yeah, it was
I would be
a little embarrassed.
I'm the same. You know, really. He's, you know what, though? Greatest quarterback. I'm sorry. I love Brady's and Wint won us.
Brady's the GOAT.
Danny wins. Yeah, but Danny wins 2 Super Bowls or whatever. He's on. He had better defenses. If I was picking a team, all-time quarterbacks, you're picking a team, he's my first pick. In his prime, is a better quarterback.
He was
Could you have
good.
A guy that with that height, strength, everything.
So competitive, guys, because when he was playing, he'd come over to the house and just to kid him, I said one time, we're about 30 yards away from my mailbox. I said, when you were good, you could probably hit that mailbox.
Or is
he still playing, right?
Yeah.
And he grabs a football and he goes,
you're kidding.
And
he didn't.
Boom! Hit the mailbox. I had to get a new mailbox.
I was going to say, I thought he took it out, right?
Woo!
Yeah, mic drop. That's all.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's very competitive.
He was an incredible baseball player, too. A lot of people know that. He was
21-0 as a pitcher at Central Cal.
How about that?
Really?
Yeah, I mean, talking monster fastball.
He was drafted by the Kansas City Royals, but he decided back then there wasn't nearly the kind of money there is to get in and the track to go pro. He decided he was going to play baseball and football at Pitt, but they quickly eliminated the baseball part, and he ended up sticking with football, obviously.
But was football his first love, though, or did he love them equally?
Yeah, well, I think he probably loved them equally at the time.
I could relate, because in high school, I was like that, too, where people were after. I was really courted heavily by community college and homeschool. Those are my two options.
Homeschool.
I heard they wanted you for the wrestling team as well.
They wanted to give you a swim team. Ride, a three-sport letterman.
Yes, security. Full ride, baby.
In your and my mind. Yeah, it's funny. I had a friend who you guys know. I don't think I should out him because it's very embarrassing.
Okay.
So there's a running joke. I played baseball.
Leave it to Jimmy. He'll out him.
Pretty good Little League baseball player.
I heard about this. Hall of
Fame. Five-time All-Star. One
of the peaked at 12, and that was the end of him. Both knees blown out, alcoholic, whole thing, down to 13. I heard the story. Heard about it. But a monster during his prime, forget about it.
No, it's a running joke. I played baseball, and then I played ice hockey, and I played ice hockey through high school. But in 10th grade, my baseball career did come to a tragic end because I was at practice, and the coach said, "Richard, where is your head?" You know, and I was thinking about being with my friends and girls.
Yeah, of course, girls. Not to say girls, forget that.
He goes, "If you're not here, you're not here." And I said, "You're right." And I quit. And he's like, "What?" And I did. I left. But I stayed in hockey. I played goalie at North Allegheny until, you know, my senior year.
That's pretty cool.
But what I was going to tell you was that this friend of mine, you guys know him.
Okay.
He told me, "Well, I thought I was an all-star once in baseball." Mm-hmm. This is on the air after I had talked about, you know, being a five-time all-star second baseman. I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "The doorbell rang, and it was the coach for my little league team."
Okay.
And my mom answered the door, and I heard her say, "Oh, hey, coach." He said, "I'm here about the All-Star game." And he thought he was getting a call-up.
Right. It's a call-up. It's big.
And here's what the coach said. "We actually need another uniform, and we're wondering if we could get your son's uniform for the All-Star game.
That is 2 years of therapy right there.
At least.
Mark it down.
No, I think it's
2 to 3 solid.
That
right?
hurts.
I think it's longer than that.
Yeah, probably. That's
a lifetime.
That's a lifetime of therapy. You're gonna get out, think it's good, positive, watch some Tony Robbins stuff, and then boom, you're right back after that one. Anytime the doorbell rings, I'm done. Trigger me.
Larry, that's Richard, painful. Unfiltered, Jim Crenn, Sheila Hyland. And since we're talking about sports, one of the biggest things in this town is when the Stellars go to camp, wrapping up. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe. St. Vincent College, first time in 3 seasons. And believe it or not, of the 90-plus players they have, only 22 of them had ever been to St. Vincent College before.
Wow.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know. Wow. That's a cool stat.
So, yeah, and obviously the big talk, if you listen to any sports station at all or anybody talk, it's like, who's going to be the quarterback?
Yep.
Is it going to be Mitch Trubisky, former number one pick of the Chicago Bears? Is it going to be Kenny Pickett, the number one pick from Pitt? Will it be Mason Rudolph, who's now in his 5th season, came from Oklahoma State? I don't know. I think it's going to be Mitch.
So far, we'll see. Mitch. Yeah.
Are you a football fan, Sheila?
You know, I love to watch football, but I don't really pay that much attention to the game. I don't know it that well.
Right.
Baseball.
Of
course. Yeah.
Steelers, obviously.
And I was actually having lunch with Billy Hillgrove a couple weeks ago. We were having a little reunion get together.
Hello.
I'm sorry your name got lost. I'm so sorry. Oh, Larry.
Wow.
Oh,
you got left out. That's like the little uniform.
It was the TV side. I'm sorry, but you were radio, so you didn't count.
Radio's always the redheaded.
Can we use your uniform, Larry?
TV. Oh, I'm sorry. All those years I saved Children's Live at Bundle Up for Joe DiNardo didn't count.
Thank you very much, Larry.
I'm sorry, but your invitation will be there next time, I guarantee
this
it.
This is Paul Long.
Thank you, Paul.
Sheila Hyland is here along with Jimmy Crenn.
Partly classy. I got a training camp story. Well, first off, I say I'm training my yells, my chants. Because training camp, I get like, here we go.
Stillers.
Here we go. And, yeah, Pittsburgh on to the Super Bowl. We got to feel. See, it's off a little bit. you know, because you got to get it right, like Coach says, you know. We're going to bring my lunch pail to work today, and Jim is going to do it right. Just going to face that chant, you know, do it 100 times. Do it, it's all repetition until the repetition becomes a repetition. You understand what I'm saying?
Coach, you know, that Tomlin almost sounded like Elvis.
Coach is like kind of like Elvis.
He's a football coach.
Coach is like Elvis. Yeah, he is what he is. He is what he is. He comes to work every day, Elvis used to.
Is he?
Every day.
A brilliant orator, Coach Tomlin.
He's the best.
The way
he motivates. He's greatest answers, right?
Right? You mm-hmm.
Tomlinisms.
Off the
Tomlinisms.
Tomlin. It's unbelievable. One of the greatest Tomlinisms of all time is when he said, "We refuse to be the Indians in their cowboy movies," talking about playing another team.
I got a great one. I just read this in camp. Pickens, the receiver.
Right.
He ran a route, and he didn't make the route. There was a cornerback beat him. Go back, coach says, "Coach, can I try this again?" And is George Pickens guy. He goes, "Hey, GP, this isn't dress rehearsal. We can't watch you warm up, all right? Do it first time next time." Isn't that a great line? This is not like do your warm ups. This isn't your warm up time.
He tells it like it is.
He just thinks so. A guy could be a great comedian. He'd be a great comic.
Yeah. Dry sense of humor.
We're looking at $100 million contract when he's ready to retire football for the analyst job in the studio. I'm telling you, he'd be amazing.
Last season, they did a Mike Tomlin press conference leaderboard of sayings.
Okay.
One was, "Can't say enough about."
I like that. Yeah. That's big.
Things of that nature,
mm-hmm.
collectively,
mm-hmm.
singularly focused, and so forth. Splash plays in the kitchen, leave the station.
Splash plays in the kitchen, leave the station, as we do, you know what I'm saying, Larry?
AFC North ball, one man's misfortune is another man's opportunity, nameless gray faces, meat on the bone, known commodities, football is our game and our business is winning. I like that. Then it goes on. Fluidity. He's got a whole list.
I like when we play
together.
Like a really tough team, like a Ravens or something. It's always like, you know, it's a close score. And it's like, you know, it's a backyard brawl is what that is. You know, the gloves come off. It's like, you know, just everybody's in the backyard just, you know, throwing around things. And that's what happened. It is what it is. It's fluidity.
Paint with a broad brush.
We're trying to paint this with a broad brush.
Tough nut to crack.
He was a tough. That's what you said, player. It's like, he's a tough nut to crack, that one, but he's a good man.
Smile in the face of adversity.
That's my favorite all-time one. Smile in the face of adversity. Smile.
We'll take no comfort in it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Isn't that?
That's when there's an injury. Someone's injured. Well, we take no comfort in it, you know. Well, next man is to step up, do his thing. It's a fluidity thing. It's a man in motion.
I mean, that's actually, he's remarkable.
He is great. He's a brilliant man and one of the great coaches of all time. Of all time.
He is the best poker face of all time.
And
he is,
and I've had the chance very rarely to see him, you know, off the gridiron.
Right.
He's extraordinarily funny.
I just told you, I think he could be a comedian. I'm telling you, he's got timing. I can tell he's got that wit.
Above the neck.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to make excuses. It is what it is, obviously. And the number one, the standard is the standard.
That's my all-time. I take that back to the last one.
Okay.
The standard is the standard one.
And because of that, the Steelers have launched their third season of a show that they call The Standard.
The Standard is the Standard.
And it's a weekly show that they distribute on their social media and streaming. And it's, you know, whatever the storyline is. But they even named a show after him.
The Standard is the Standard, lad. That's what I do. We're just trying to win, do my thing. That's it. Just your football. It's just how it is. It's a game. You know what I'm saying? It's a game. It's good. It's fun. It's a game. I'm trying to do some fluidity. You know what I'm saying? The Standard is what it is. I do have a training camp story. It's kind of funny. Because we cover training camps, right, forever. And
they used to send us up.
Yeah. And this one's like early on. This is in the 90s, man. And they had a building, no air conditioning. Okay. And it's pretty rough and hot. It's like August, and the show's going on. There's no air, and I'm sweating. And Myron Cope would walk in, and his or players would stay in. We were in a dorm. Some players and media were. This is how long ago this was. And Myron would walk in. these boxer shorts on, t-shirt, making noises, and he'd yell at me. He'd yell at me. And he'd, stop staring at my boxers. He'd just joking with me. And he'd get his coffee and walk out, and we'd be doing another show. Well, I was so thirsty. This show, I was so thirsty. There was no, I couldn't get water. And there was a refrigerator in the corner, a little one. And it had a Welch's grape soda pop in there. That's all. Ice cold beads of water on it, like ice, you know? I wanted it so bad. And I walk over, and somebody told me, I don't know who it was, hey, man, that's like, I think that's Greg Lloyd's soda.
Grape juice.
It's a plate. Yeah, it's a soda. Well, it's just soda. It's like they make the soda pop at the time. It came out, and I'm excited about it. But I'm like, that's Greg Lloyd's? Okay. I sit back down. I don't want to take his grape soda pop, right? It's Greg Lloyd's. So I can't do it. I can't. And an hour goes by. I was there for like 4 hours.
Because you're a good Catholic boy.
I break.
You cracked.
I cracked. I took it. I drank it. I put it in the garbage. Who comes walking in but the kicker, Gary Anderson, walks in, looks in that refrigerator. I swear to God, not making this up. And he went, who took my quay pop? He looked over at us and me. Maybe I had a little mustache and grape. I don't know. Because, who took my quay pop? I go, we're like, wow. I don't know. No one gave me up, thank God. Somebody took my quay pop. Well, he was really mad.
He'd have kicked you.
He was mad. Somebody
might have hurt.
He said, somebody took my quay pop. Yeah. You know, you shouldn't. He's going lecturing people. And yeah, now he's thinking me. He didn't come on our show. How about that ever?
I was so mad.
I apologized to him once at the
draft
party.
Oh, so you did fess up.
You did fess up.
Yeah, I did. He laughed. I said, I took your quay pop.
But then he would never come on the show.
He laughed, though. He did laugh.
Have you ever been to training camp?
You know what? I've never been.
Really?
I've always wanted to go, and
it's awesome.
I've not been. Get there yet.
No, you'll have to wait till next year now.
It always just seems so hot, to your point.
It is hot there, but it is fun.
You know what?
It's interesting.
That's a poor excuse.
It's a good excuse.
It's fun. You'll love it. You'll love it.
You guys act like it's going to Hell's Furnace or out in the desert.
Did you ever do the 40-yard dash? Or anything? You know, they used to have stuff on the field. And I did. I went down one time. I go on the field.
I wouldn't.
I have been in the Steelers locker room, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is when women, where they were starting to allow women in the locker room. And I was in there with my photographer, whom I believe was Art Carr. And if you know Art,
okay,
he's got stories to tell right and left. But anyway, so I go into the locker room after the game, and you know, the players are coming in. And I stand with my back to the main locker room so that I'm not seeing anything. But then the players are like walking in front of you.
Right.
So my photographer is strategically placing me. Turn right. Okay. Turn left. Yeah. Look up. Look down. Look to your right the whole time so that I wouldn't see anything I wasn't supposed to see.
Oh.
But
did you?
Blocked out.
No, I didn't see anything.
Well, I did.
I wanted to peek, but
what,
I didn't.
What, when you're at your camp, though, you get... You think you could do with these guys. These guys are amazing. I know people criticize these footballers. They are amazing. They're the best of the best of the best, great athletes and stuff. So down on the 40-yard dash thing, someone timed me at a 40. My hamstring popped at 10 yards. I was down like someone.
Oh.
I went down like a gazelle getting shot. Like, you know. There's...
Wow.
Oh, yeah. 10 yards I made it. But I really was fast for 10 yards.
It was a fast 10 yards.
Oh, yeah. I'd be a 10-yard out guy.
I was in college, and I went down to cover. This is my first game. They played the Chicago Bears, and it happened to be Cliff Stout's first start.
Okay.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
At Three Rivers Stadium.
Cliff Stout.
And I was, you know, awestruck in the locker room, all these people I had seen on TV for years. And Cliff was being interviewed because they won the game, and after the game, all the photographers crushed. You know, and they were all around him, and he had his towel on, and
yeah,
he was holding his towel. And meanwhile, other players were coming from behind, walking behind him, trying to yank the towel out from under him.
Yeah.
And one of the reporters said, Cliff, you seem more concerned about that towel than you are about dealing with the media here. And he goes, oh, yeah, I don't want you guys to compare me to LC.
Oh, yeah, LC, legendary. Heard about that.
So.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
Yep.
And then I went in the Chicago Bears locker room and I saw Walter Payton. and Walter Payton looked like he was chiseled out of granite.
Oh, yeah. The guy was an amazing athlete, of course.
Right? No, wait, you said you saw him in the buff?
Well, no, he had shorts on, but he had his shirt off.
Okay.
But, yeah. I mean, his physique.
Like the best from physique ever?
Yes. I mean, he was not a big man.
Yeah.
He had big thighs, but his upper torso looked
just
like
chiseled.
He was chiseled out of granite.
He had a workout regiment that no one could
running
do.
Running up that hill?
Yes. No one could do it. Jerry Rice has a similar, took the same idea, he ran up, you're right, ran up a hill of sand or something like that.
Is it true you used to run up Mount Washington?
I used to run that hill all the time.
Oh, did you now?
Yeah. Although one time, I am sitting with Merle Hodge, and we're having a beverage, and it's 2 a.m. And we just look at each other, and he goes, it's snowing. It's snowing. And he looks at me and goes, hey, Jamie, do you ever go four-wheeling? Because Merle's like, you know, out there.
Outdoors guy.
Outdoors. Yeah. I am a city guy, and that's it. You know, I was living on Northside at the time. and the bar was on Northside. We're sitting, and he goes, do you ever go four-wheeling, man? I go, no, I never really did. He said, let's go. We weren't drunk or anything. Really weren't. And I said, I don't know, it's snowing out. He goes, I got my Bronco. Let's go. We get in this truck, and I'm excited. I'm thinking, well, where are we going four-wheeling? So we go to Mount Washington. He goes to the base. He makes a left off-road and starts climbing up Mount Washington. Like, no road. I mean, just climbing up it.
You're serious?
Yes. So we're going, and I'm like, oh, my God. It's unbelievable. And then all of a sudden, we got like a point where we're like almost straight up and down, like we're going to flip or something. I go, have you done this route before? He goes, no, never did this one. I said, what do you think? He goes, I think we should back up now. We backed up real slow down. We made it about third of the way. That was the funniest thing ever. I mean, like, Merle, you never did. I thought in my mind I could make it.
He's back in action here in Pittsburgh. Best.
You know what? We have to get him on the show.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Barrel, man.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Let's text him.
We had this. This guy was like an intern, whatever. And Merle was Merle was on our show, and this they used to people gave him the 12 rules of broadcasting and stuff, and he always brings that up every once in a while. It's like what you're supposed to do.
Well, he was very successful.
That's
on
what it means,
ESPN.
Major League, you know, ESPN, and
but he got to start with you as far as radio.
The first, while he was playing, I always thought he had talent. We talked about his repetition and just getting comfortable, and he had an insight that was great. His
and
voice
now
sounded
he's
great.
Still working for the team. So, let me get your prediction. While we're just on the verge of a season starting with so many unknowns,
yep,
Steelers. What place will they finish in the AFC North? First, second, third, or fourth? Sheila?
Going back to Billy Hillgrove, I talked to him. That's where I was leading to this.
Yo.
And he thinks they'll have a very successful season. He also thinks Mitch will be the starting QB. But anyway, I'm going to be cautiously optimistic and say second.
Nice. I'm going to say 9-7, third place, then make the playoffs. Because there's an extra team.
Expanded playoff scenario.
I can see us making the playoffs.
I'm going to say second.
Second?
I think Cincinnati, I think Cleveland's going to be in disarray. And I think Baltimore's got some big question marks. Cincinnati went to the Super Bowl, guys.
And Burrow's the real deal.
They basically have the same group. So I think the Steelers are going to surprise some people. I'm going to go. Well, it's not 9-7 anymore.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy, you got to
right.
go.
I got to go.
You got to go
9-8. Or somewhere where to go. 10-7. 10-7. 17-8. Yeah, 10-7. I'll go.
10-7.
I'll say 10-7.
I'm going to say 10-7 too.
I like that. It's going to be. Baltimore's an interesting team. They're a really good team. It's an interesting team. Talking to a scout, you have to say anonymous. And the quarterbacks, Burrow's the real deal. He's going to be tough to beat for a while.
So, what else did Merle tell you?
No, it wasn't Merle. Lamar Jackson is a great quarterback. He's a phenomenal star.
He's what they call a dual threat.
But the thing with a dual threat is you have to be – and he is a good passer. But they said when you get older, you start taking hits and You know, your body's going to go, if you want to have longevity, like Brady, obviously, whatever, Brady's a pocket. You've got to obviously transfer over to being throwing darts. And they're not, I don't think they're certain on his accuracy as far as that. And that's what he's going to make $1 zillion, which is amazing. So we're going to see within a year a $50 million a year player.
God,
we're already in 45s with Aaron Rodgers.
So we're going to get on salaries and other occupations. Pace out the same percentage wise of growth. Why are these guys, you know, Jack Lambert was the first $100,000 a year defensive player in the league.
The first $100,000
a year. Larry knows everything.
That's cool. He held out to get that.
Okay.
$100,000 a year. And now you're talking about
$50 million.
Yeah. $40 million, $50 million.
Right. But I mean, granted, we say that's crazy, but here it is. They're athletes, but they're entertainers also. There's billions of dollars on the entertainment, and you have to give it to them because there are, I can't even know how small the percentage would be of the people that play in the NFL.
Yeah, but you know, one sad thing about it all, not to bring it down, but is that the common man, so to speak, can no longer afford to go to these sporting events.
The
tickets
corporate.
Are outlandish. Right.
Yeah, that's why they have streaming.
Yeah, you're right. But that's a good point.
Who can afford that either? All right. All considered for the entire season, who plays more games at quarterback for the Steelers? Now, we all believe Mitch Trubisky is going to start. Who plays the most games in the season? We're going to go back and visit episode 42.
I think we're going to see Kenny Pickett make some appearance. I think he's a solid quarterback. He doesn't get flustered. I think he's going to be, you know, great as years come by. He's a rookie, though. We don't know his uncertainty. But if I had to guess from this early on, from my analysis of camp, and I am a complete psychopath football junkie, Mason Rudolph is probably having the best camp as far as quarterbacks right now. So I think we're going to see him maybe eventually. If Trubisky doesn't start well, you know, we go three games.
Don't trade him.
Yeah, Mason's next man up. But here's the wild thing. You ready for this wild story? We'll have to go back to this if this happens. I think we're going to have possibility of Jimmy Garoppolo coming to Pittsburgh.
What?
I think there's a possibility of Jimmy Garoppolo coming to Pittsburgh. And he'd be because think about it. Now, he played
this year?
Yeah. I think it'd be a one-year rental or two, maybe while we're developing Pickett. I wouldn't be surprised. He's available. He's available for nothing, probably, or low money. They could do it in a trade with a seventh-round pick, have him pick up most of the salary. I think like a 1 or 2 year thing, rental, while Pickett's developing. And Pickett's obviously going to be the guy because that's why they drafted him in the first round. But don't be shocked if Garoppolo comes here.
So why do you think Pickett is being talked about as number three right now instead of number two?
It's a development thing.
I talked to Tyler Pelko, who played at Pitt and then played in the NFL.
Right.
And I said, what's the difference? Because you hear so many good quarterbacks in college go to the pros, and then they fizzle, and you never hear from them again, including like Tim Tebow. And guys said, oh, we knew he wasn't going to be an NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. Why? And Tyler Pelko, I thought, nailed it when he said, in college, you throw to the open receiver. In the pros, you throw open the receiver. It's just that difference in timing and
window's
speed.
Amazing. Oh, okay.
And some guys can't make that additional
change
at that level, and they fizzle out. So Kenny Pickett, there's no reason to rush him now.
No.
If Mitch Trubisky, who was also a number one pick, played on a horrible team in Chicago.
He's made a Pro Bowl.
He's got talent, and Mason Rudolph's got talent, but Mason Rudolph can't seem to get over the top to be an elite quarterback.
I think this may be a surprise guy because he came in thinner, leaner, maybe it's a different training technique or something's different about this guy. He's got a little spring in his step, so maybe it's because of the Trubisky thing and it's brought a little bit of edge to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised with Rudolph. I mean,
so who's going to play more?
I'll say Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph for Jimmy.
Trubisky.
I'm going to say overall Mitch Trubisky will play more
Most of the games.
Regular season games this year. All right. That's final
exciting.
Thoughts?
Yeah, we got to go back and revisit this in January.
Yeah, or mid-season even.
Yeah.
You mean when we're broadcasting live from Bradenton?
Yes.
Or the Super Bowl.
Yes. Woohoo.
Positive thing.
That'd be a good idea. Any final notes, Jimmy?
Here we go, Steelers. Here, yeah, the standard is the standard, Larry. That's what it is. Standard is the standard.
Let's get a lunch pail and go home. Larry Richard with Jimmy Crenn and Sheila Hyland, Unfiltered, episode 42. We want to thank Dick Roberts, our producer, Jim Petulski, one of our partners from Face for Radio Productions, and I thank each of you for hanging with me.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Appreciate it, brother.
I think
privilege.
Both followers are very appreciative.
They are. I met them in the parking lot. So
thank you, guys. That's a wrap.
Boom.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.